Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court. You don't need to say that, but we say it anyway.
Yes.
I am Supreme Crit Justice Caldwell Tanner, joined by the beautiful, the benevolent, the glowing Bailiff Hurwitz.
Very nice. Thank you.
Indeed. You
don't
know what?
Hear that often enough, actually.
It's a new day. It's a new paradigm because two of our justices, Axford and Murphy, are on vacation.
Yes. I thought they fled the court in disgrace, but
weren't going to publicly say that, but yes, they have sequestered themselves.
I see.
They are being investigated for several crimes
against Dice
D&D,
Christ.
Dice Christ, yeah. And also the United States.
Right.
But in a pinch, while they are having a hiatus, let's say, we've recruited two incredible justices. We have Justices Julia Lepetit and Justice Nathan Yaffe here with us.
Wow.
Hello.
Thanks
Welcome
for having
aboard.
Us.
Welcome. Oh,
yeah, thanks for
coming.
For having us.
Yes.
We're honored.
If you're unaware, they are both from the YouTube channel Drawfee, which is a drawing channel, which you might have seen me on back in the day. But in addition to that, they are currently running a very cool game called Drawtectives, which is a role-playing game, but with art elements added into it that Julia is the game master for.
Yeah. Wow. It's fun to be the master of that game, and now I'm being called a justice, and I feel like I have too much power.
Oh, yeah.
The combination of the two is too much for me.
The power does often go straight to someone's head.
Yeah. Oh,
it
I'm already
pretty
there.
Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
It feels good.
Yeah. It's not going to cancel. They don't cancel each other out, though. It just compounds.
Not enough power? Too much power? Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah. Am I a god now? Remains to be seen.
Wait
probably.
Till the second half of the show.
Well, now that we are all feeling comfortable in our positions and ready to dole out justice, Bailiff, do you have a case for us?
Actually, before we do that, we have two new justices, actually just nominated justices.
Yeah.
You guys must first take the oath of the Supreme Crit.
My apologies, Bailiff.
Yes.
I've spoken out of turn.
This is still my courtroom.
Yeah, I was told this oath was very important, so I've
it
got
is.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, Julia and Nathan have both pricked their finger to sign it in blood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you just needed the finger? I went full palm.
Well,
oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that's a lot
dedicated.
Of blood.
Getting okay. everywhere.
We're going to need to get some paper towels for that.
It's not clotting at all. It's just flowing.
Wow. We'll get you a bucket, if that's okay.
Listen, if I dip my hand in that bucket and it fills up to pass my hand, that means it stops bleeding. So we just got to get to that point. That's how liquid works.
I'm okay with it if you are, Bailiff.
You guys are already thinking like we want you to on the Supreme Court. So I guess you guys can say the oath at the same time. I don't think we've ever done a double oath, but
Well, normally we're recording remotely, but we're all in the room together. So I think we're going to get a nice cadence. I think that honestly, this is going to be the best oath yet.
Yeah. Unless we mess up, in which case we were recording remotely.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Sorry
if
about the lag.
There's a little bit of a delay, between me and Nathan.
Well, if we mess up, you do have to go into the other room and record remotely. We're going to make you record
punishment.
In the bathroom.
And you have to use your phone instead of the Wi-Fi.
I'm going to sit on the stairs, record from there.
So echoey. Come on.
Hold on, guys. There's a guy coming in with a bike. Hold for bike. Oh,
that has to be my
Amazon
brother.
Again.
Bike check.
How do we want to start this? Do you want to count us in?
Count us in?
Bailiff, you want to count us in?
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
I, Nathan Yaffe, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me gods.
No fucking lie, I actually got chills.
I got chills.
Good.
Yeah, we did well on that.
Yeah. Oh, that was beautifully read. I got chills for another reason where I was like, what are we making them agree to?
Is this too much?
This is several pages long.
Do we have to check with a lawyer?
Now that you guys are sworn in, let me say, hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, Tanner, Yaffe, and Lipteet presiding.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
It's a new age.
It sure is. So Let's kick it off with our first case coming from Tommy G. Tommy writes, may it please the court, I humbly bring before you DM versus player the Soap Key case.
Oh, if it's going where I think it's going, this is just like classic Columbo shit. This is like absolutely like, you know, some Agatha Christie bullshit and I'm here for it.
Oh, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
They write, I am a new DM running out of the abyss where the players start off as prisoners of the drow in the Underdark. Mm. I mentioned to my players that the guards have keys on their hips, thinking they would use this opportunity to pickpocket a key. My rogue decided instead of pickpocketing a key, he wanted to take a bar of soap and push it into a key to get an impression of it while it was on a guard's hip. I thought this was unrealistic, given the guard was awake and it would take too long to push a key into a bar of soap without the guard noticing. My player disagreed and grabbed a bar of soap IRL and pushed a fork into it to prove his point. I countered that the soap from his bathroom was soft from a recent shower and a fork provided a handle to push it in. My player ended up rolling really well on sleight of hand and I let him have his imprint of the key. But was I within my rights to say this wouldn't work?
I mean, here's the thing.
There's so many
you
layers.
You set up the precedent right there, which is that if you take a quick shower and soften the soap, then it's good to go.
Yep.
So if your rogue is a rogue, right?
Yes, yes.
If rogue. Your rogue takes a quick shower in the corner of the cell, softens up that soap, no problems.
Yeah, like,
you've delivered the rules.
There's nothing here saying that the soap in the jail cell was hard. Like it could be
exactly.
It could also be soft.
Yeah, what kind of soap are we working with in the Underdark? You know?
There's a lot of weird creatures down there.
It's probably everything's kind of soft and wet and damp. Yeah.
I just love that at this table shower soap was
just ready to
withdrawn.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
He brought it out, was like, let me show you. Here's a fork. Here's the soap I washed myself with mere hours ago.
You can still see several hairs on it, pubes and otherwise, but there.
It's a nice reminder that not everyone records when they play. This just would not work for us.
I feel like you have to reward the ingenuity of just like running to your bathroom and getting your Lever 2000 bar just to like prove a point.
Yeah. Mm.
But there is the part of me as a GM that's just like, I just want you to interact with the thing.
Just for once,
I want you to interact with the thing the way that I want you to interact with the thing. Yeah. And I would be like, there's like the stubborn part of me where my reflex is like, no, it's that old prison soap that is dried out. Mm-hmm. It's like chips when you use it. Like, no, you can't press diddly into that.
This feels pointed in my direction.
This is great. You know, I was worried that without Murph here, we were going to lose the salt. But like, I think we have a new salt queen has arisen.
I'm halfway through season two of Draw Detectives as the GM, and I've lost my mind.
Wow, we've got the DM's judge here.
Perfect.
Yes.
Murph is far to the south. Is that what it is? We say
we change it every time.
Yeah, ones are around the DM. 20s are for the player.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think like
moving to the
20
south.
To the north. That's for the player. Mm-hmm. One to the south. So you are our southern judge, and Nathan shall be our northern point.
Yeah.
And the bailiff and I shall do our best to remain impartial, so that like, the court can continue, so that it doesn't collapse in upon itself.
Now, how does this actually work? The soap.
The
key. Like, once you have the imprint, that's nice, but don't you need the key?
You need some sort of...
Well, you need to then, like, pour, like, because this is an old technique that people used to do, but then they would pour something into the mold on the soap. So like you're going to say you have some sort of molten stuff and you're I mean,
could you make an ice key? What about an ice key?
I feel like that would just shatter if you tried to use it.
Maybe. That's true.
You know? It's got a lot of little delicate ends to it. Mm-hmm. Little rods and stuff.
And that is the question. If you poured molten metal into a bar of soap, would it hold up to the scrutiny?
That's going to melt the soap.
You just
that's
need probably going to melt the soap. What you need is someone on your team with the Shape Earth cantrip to shape Earth into the shape of the key, harden it up, get it in. You know, just use it.
I forgot that this was D&D and not jail.
That's my problem with the question. It's like, is it realistic? What's realistic? It's the, you know, if it's hard to do, if it's near impossible to do, set the challenge DC.
That's unrealistic, okay?
Difficult.
You're a prisoner of the drow in the Underdark.
Yeah.
You're taking this seriously.
You must use your incredible skill at pickpocketing to take the key rather than using your incredible sleight of hand skill to do something else that also would be undetect.
Go off king.
I don't know. It's just, it's maybe it's a little bit harder to do than just swiping the key off the guard that's awake. But yeah, just make the difficulty check harder. It sounds like the rogue rolled well.
I think you're both right in different ways. Nathan, you're right that this is a very good use of ingenuity. It's creative play. Julia, you're right to be annoyed.
Thank you.
Being a DM is being annoyed, setting hard difficulties, checks for absurd things your players want to do, and then being more annoyed when they roll really well.
Yeah, that's true. That's like really, it all breaks down to that.
Those are two very different, because sleight of hand, you can't use that check for two different actions, right? Like a sleight of hand to pickpocket versus a sleight of hand to press soap. What do you do as the GM? Do you just set the DC a lot higher for the soap one?
I wish we had like a man on the street segment. Like send somebody out into the streets of Brooklyn to just press soap.
Yeah,
it was harder to press the soap for sure than it was to just take stuff.
Yeah, I got beaten up several times.
But then you'd get the guy that's like, yeah, I could do that. No problem. Mm-hmm. Give me a bar of soap. I'll do it right now. Mm-hmm.
It's true. If you got like Matt Damon from Ocean's 12, Ocean's 11, any of the oceans, honestly.
Really? Fuck it. Even real life. I feel like Matt Damon like has those skills.
Yeah, if Damon's involved and he's pressing soap, I think that he could like get that imprint real clean.
Knowing me, I think I'm more likely to let someone press soap into my body than to like take my keys off my belt loop.
That's true.
Like, I could picture the soap one happening.
Yeah, you do a little bump. You do a little, like, sorry.
Sorry, my face is dirty.
It's
covered in soap. I suppose that's fine. On with your day, sir.
Yeah, especially in like a big city, you can just get away with that. You're just like, oh, rub-a-dub. I've gotten a little of my magic soap on you. Farewell. And then you just slide off into the night, no one's the wiser.
Yeah, that now it's a performance check that you're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all live in New York. When was the last time someone ran into you with soap?
Oh, man.
On the way here.
Yeah.
I noticed you got that soap stain on your jeans.
I know. It's in my shoes even.
Well, I suppose...
Full bars of soap.
I suppose we must rule.
I think so. It seems like... You know,
we're torn a little bit.
Torn, but
you know, it's like if you establish some world rules, but also the difficulty as GM is that you have the part of you that's stubborn, but you also have the part of you that's like, I'm playing with my friends. I gotta let them have fun with this thing. It's not, you know, it's not life or death.
Which is, it sounds like that's what Tommy ended up doing because they said I let them use it.
Mm-hmm.
But was I right to say it shouldn't work?
I think that you played this perfectly.
Yeah.
You said no, but then they like came at it sideways with a fun reason. You made them roll.
Mm-hmm.
They like passed the roll, even though it was really high. So I think that like, you kind of get to like play the role of the curmudgeonly DM, but like still get your friend to succeed. So I think it's a win-win across the board.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get to rub your face and go, fine. I don't like it, but do
like,
it.
You know, God, I would love to be in that room when like the player did that high sleight of hand roll because you know that soap got passed around. Yeah. You know that like soap literally got rubbed in the DM's face.
Yeah. And they're going to bring it up later. Like, we're having another soap moment.
Yeah. You know that the next session, they're going to bring in a bar of soap between hamburger buns. Eat that soap. Eat that soap, idiot.
As my bonus item, I bring a bar of soap.
Unfortunately, so we've reached the point of this hearing where we need to weigh in. We need to deliver a punishment, unfortunately. Yeah.
So it sounds like we are ruling in favor of who? Because the we agree with what the DM did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the question is player versus DM and who was right. And I think... Oh, the DM was right, so we're ruling against the player.
But the player was also right.
Yeah, everyone was right.
Someone must be punished.
It sounded like
both.
Oh, that's great.
Punishment. Wow.
The punishment is they have to keep playing with each other and just kind of butting heads.
Yeah.
We harbor that tension.
That's playing D&D. You've described the act of playing D&D.
Yes.
The player gets to bring up the soap in future episodes and then see their friend's face as they just grow more and more irritated every time, knowing that they're damaging that friendship, maybe forever.
Yeah.
So
this DM is just going to put you in harder and harder prisons to break out of.
There's no soap in this prison. You don't get to shower.
Yeah, if this person keeps trying to use soap to solve problems, you just have to like make stuff happen to their soap.
Make stuff happen to your world that needs soap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a really dirty, dirty place. It's a vile, disgusting place.
You can either
clean it up.
Clean yourself or have the key, but you can't do both.
Oh, that's cool.
You stumble upon the one orphanage in town and there's a big sludge monster attacking it. What do you do?
So that they're sentenced to play together forever, which sounds nice because I feel like, you know, they got a good energy. They have good tit for tat, cat and mouse over here. They should always play with the bar of soap as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're sentencing them to life is what we're saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Life of playing together with the soap.
A softer punishment than we normally go for, but I like it.
Yes.
A cleaner punishment.
Yeah. Just like soap.
Well said.
Let's see if the trend continues because the next case comes from Heidi A. To the bailiff, strong of body, and the justices, strong of mind.
Wow.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Nice.
May it please the court. I bring forth
all
the
of our
case...
souls are rotten.
Heidi, you don't know me.
Dude, everything's fine as long as I'm fucking jacked, which Heidi clearly thinks I am, and that's all that fucking matters. So you know my soul is rotten. I bring forth the case of the bard who won't cast spells. I DM for a first-time player who desperately wants to be an Arakocra bard named Ak-Ak. He says he loves playing support classes and wants to fly around the battlefield inspiring his friends with his bagpipes.
Great.
The problem, what Ak-Ak actually wants, is to be a tank, a level 9 bard. His normal turn is to use his action to stab a monster with his dagger, then he uses his bonus action to try again. He also doesn't heal anyone. One time the wizard was down and making death saves, and he used his turn to stab a monster with a dagger, then healing word himself.
Oh,
I've offered to let him reclass as something else and try to nudge him towards using any of his class abilities at all, but he's adamant that he wants to be a bard. Should I just kill this foolhardy bird? The player seems to really love him. What do I do to make sure the party has fun even though one player is effectively level 1 forever?
Wow.
I'm obsessed with this.
Julia, your thoughts.
I love it. I have not played as a player in a lot of D&D, but I played once for one campaign as a magician, and I, unlike everyone else I was playing with, I built my character story first, and then I like picked my abilities based off of what I felt like that character would actually use in their day-to-day. So I was a magician, and I had like a lot of just like, because he wanted to be like a magician performer for like kids. So I chose like a lot of things that would be fun for a show. And I was useless for the longest time.
Oh, no. What class were you actually playing?
This was a non-D&D game.
Oh,
it's
okay.
called Shadow of the Demon Lord. Great game. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Very similar to 5e, but with some differences that I really like. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you were a wizard, right? Or
I think I was a magician.
Yeah, magician.
So nothing.
Yeah. it was great. I could, like, make duplicates of myself.
That's
I could
cool.
do, like, I don't know. It was such a bizarre class, but I absolutely loved it.
But see, you were casting your spells, and,
that's
like, they
true.
Weren't damaging spells, but they were still useful. You
right.
were effectively the tank because no one could hit you.
Yeah.
You couldn't hit anyone else, but you would just baffle the opponents. This was a good character that you made.
It seems like the problem here is that there weren't enough kids' birthdays for you to go to.
Correct.
Yeah.
I only had one. I was out of work.
Yeah,
real fast.
Did you do balloon animals?
Oh, I should have.
Fuck.
Yeah, you got to expand. Like, dang. Magic only gets you so far. You can only pull so many doves out of a hat.
Yeah, I had a mechanical bird.
Ooh.
And I used that to cast a lot of spells because it had to be like things I could touch. So I would like touch the bird and to do a spell, and then the bird would go somewhere. Mm-hmm. See, it's cool.
What this question reminded me more of is another time we played together where mm-hmm. you played a character that specialized in pickpocketing, and Caldwell...
Oh, as the one that I DM'd?
Yeah, Caldwell as the DM basically offered you the ability to use your pickpocketing.
And wait, did you do a soap thing? Is this all coming full?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Caldwell, did you submit that?
Well, I might have changed some details.
No, but you did this very cool thing as the DM where it was like we were in this final battle and a lot of our players weren't very combat oriented and mm-hmm. you were basically like, okay, you can just use your highest skill ability as yeah. your attack roll. And mm-hmm. Julia was like, my character wouldn't want to attack.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you spent that entire battle like trying to steal a mini fridge.
Yes. I was stealing all of the things in the room and putting mm-hmm. it in my bag because I figured that my character would be more interested in once he got home mm-hmm. selling magical items than he would yes. to be like doing this big adventure thing.
But even still, you were playing your character correctly because you were a rogue and a thief.
That's true.
This
yes.
is not, we are straying from right. the Ak-Ak case.
Ak-Ak.
That's a good, okay.
Is it, well, what college bard is it? Is it a college of swords bard? Because then the daggers make a little more sense.
That is
it
true.
It must be because they're talking about Ak-Ak having a bunch of daggers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, but level 9 College of Swords, you would have some high level spells.
Right. Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. like, Murph played a College of Swords bard as Jinns, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, Jinns was, like, using his offhand to do bonus action stabs all the right. time. But he was also doing, like, Dimension Door and a bunch of cool ass spells and, like, definitely always healing wording his friends, which is kind of like, it seems like this bard is, like, should be one of the big healers in the group, and they're right. not really pulling their weight.
It feels almost like there's two different issues. Like, mm-hmm. you can play your character stupid, but not if you built, like, the party around this character being a support character.
Right.
Like, if this character is, if their job is to, like, keep people up, like, Ak-Ak can attack on his turn, whatever, but, like, mm-hmm. he should attack, still... he should like heal people. That's that's kind of based on, and he knows he has heals because
he heals
as mentioned. Yes, Ak-Ak is healing himself.
The wizard is making death saves. One of the best things as a bard is you can healing word from anywhere on the battlefield to pop someone up mm-hmm. when they need.
It's like a bonus action, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's a bonus action. You can still do... Barely, yeah.
But then I don't get to attack twice with a dagger.
Another dagger attack.
I think the worst part is that this player loves their character. Like, yeah. they have no flaws with Ak-Ak. They love Ak-Ak with all their heart. And that's what makes this so difficult. Because we do have to kill Ak-Ak.
Yeah. Ak-Ak does need to die. Or the entire party needs to die. And Ak-Ak needs to feel the weight.
That's interesting. Ak-Ak is responsible. TP.
If only you had played one chord on your bagpipe, Ak-Ak, you mm-hmm. could have saved the day.
Yeah.
But you chose to stab, and now you have to pay the price for it. Yeah, do we have to walk a hard path for Ak-Ak here?
I think I would rule against Ak-Ak here.
I agree.
Just
because,
like, the idea that you would not, if you have a heal and you would let someone make death save and heal yourself on the same turn that you attacked mm-hmm. feels, like, insanely selfish to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beyond the pale.
It just feels like the point of playing a game with your friends is to have fun with mm-hmm. your friends. And if you are the only person who's having fun and everyone else is miserable, you should probably rethink a few things.
Yeah. So how are we going to punish Ak-Ak and their player?
Maybe he has to... Oh, but that would be a punishment for everyone. I was going to say maybe he gets his character taken away and then he has to just like play music for every session going forward in real life.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's more of a punishment.
I mean,
for the
having
rest
to learn
team.
How to play the bagpipes in real life is kind of a, I mean, it's an honor because it's, you know.
You're going to get a lot of work at funerals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing's cooler. I think playing the bagpipes is really good, but learning must not be cool at all.
No, that's going to be a long road.
Yeah. Starting out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to see how expensive bagpipes are.
Yeah. Look up that and then also like a lessons package. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say while you're doing that, this is like a very fun tact that we're taking for this court session where it seems like all of these punishments are like self-improving in a way.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
one of them, we've sentenced someone to life with mm-hmm. their friend to play D&D forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how magical that punishment is. If they'll never die, I don't know what the limits of our court are. Maybe we've sentenced them to immortality playing D&D.
Yeah, they'll never die, mm-hmm. but they will age.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, cool. Yeah. That's cool as well, because then eventually there'll be a couple of skeletons playing D&D.
Yeah.
And like everyone can just go watch them do it.
That's what we're all striving for at the end of the day.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
it
now
looks like bagpipes are actually not terribly expensive. I have no idea if these are working bagpipes, mm-hmm. but there's a pair on heritageofscotland.com for
$14.99.
They do have a one star review.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a one star pipe.
But on ScottishLionsBooth.com, you can get a bagpipe bonanza for $130.
What is the bonanza element?
Don't look at my screen.
Oh, my God.
There's a $1,500.
That bagpipe's not covering anything.
I'm sending ACAC to getting Claymore Imports $1,500 bagpipes.
The yeah, expensive that's bagpipes. A good price for a pipe.
But I will teach you for free. So,
wow.
This raises another question, because mm-hmm. bagpipes require two hands to use.
Yes.
So if they're making bonus action attacks with their daggers, that means they're dual wielding, because you can use your bonus action to make an attack with your offhand weapon. Mm-hmm. So they're dual wielding daggers. They're not even playing their bagpipes while they're wielding the daggers.
Akak is fucking up in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
How many arms this character got?
Nathan, you were supposed to be our player's judge, and already you've fallen from the path.
Well, because they're playing wrong.
He's the true player's judge.
It's the opposite. It's the exact opposite of my play style, where it's like, if you want to make a character that's optimized for daggers, go for it. But I don't waste all your spell slots.
Nathan is the player's handbook judge.
Yes.
There we go.
Very nice.
So yes, we're going to sentence them to learn the bagpipe. Mm-hmm. And then I think, how about this? They have to start every session with like a beautiful bagpipe song. And
I
then they
that.
Close every session as well.
With a dirge, like a absolutely. Sad bagpipe mm-hmm. song.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So fucking ordered. Let's go to a quick recess.
Oh, okay.
I've got something here that's not quite a case, more like a brainstorm. Like this person's looking
right.
for
okay.
some advice.
We're outside the courtroom now. Mm-hmm. Our robes are open.
Yes.
We're all sipping coffee, smoking cigarettes, mm-hmm. staring off into mm-hmm. Another beautiful New York sunset. Mm-hmm. And we're brainstorming.
We're brainstorming. Great. And mm-hmm. actually, Murph and Emily are going to be very sad they missed this question.
Oh.
It comes from Katrin. Esteemed crit. Justices and oft maligned bailiff. Ain't that the truth? If it may please the court, I write to you not to settle a dispute because I play with other reasonable adults, but to ask
Congrats.
Your advice on steed stats. My Eladrin Palabard Arcadi has fine steed, and my cool DM allowed me to make the steed a giant black domestic cat named Laszlo. At the outset of the campaign, we decided to use warhorse stats with the edit of a 16 dex instead of 12 and a pouncing charge instead of a trampling charge. However, as we've played through a few sessions, there are other components of the warhorse stats that don't really align with a cat's physiology. I've read suggestions online to use warg stats, but that felt too overpowered for a level 6 character. Given Justices Murphy and Axford, who are not here, proclivity towards cats, I'm appealing to them to supply a cat steed stat block that isn't overpowered, but also better conveys the nuances of having a fey feline as my steed. Thanks, sweeties. Now, Nathan, you have a cat. Is that correct?
No. Julia.
I have two.
Julia has two cats.
I have two
Perfect.
Cats.
Mm-hmm. Great. We have a cat. Cats are being represented here.
Yes.
I have no cats. So we need a cat mom to talk us through
I'm
this.
Here.
I've seen cats. I've seen them before.
2019?
Just cats and animals.
Just in
okay.
general. Yeah, I've
okay.
seen them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Went to a showing of cats. That but the screen didn't work because it was just full of actual cats.
Whoa.
Oh, I would have preferred that though.
Yeah. It was very surprising. It was an interactive experience. But the theater was shut down.
I mean, yeah. But also, you're not going to have rats that way.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
So it all worked out because they had a big rat problem.
Oh,
and then they brought in all the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, they started multiplying. They started, like, it was very cute. They were, like, living in, like, the little film canisters and stuff like
oh,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about the rats or the cats?
Both, actually.
Nice.
They made a shaky truce.
Yeah.
they divided the theater in half.
Right. They actually all banded together to fight the humans the day that we were seeing the
this
movie.
This is a common New York problem that happens to most theaters here.
Yeah.
That's why they're all AMCs.
Cats
now.
And rats. cats warring against us in the streets.
And then when you went to go buy your tickets for the Cats movie, it wasn't a person behind there. It was just a stack of cats wearing a big trench coat.
That's what, all right, so AMC stands for American Mouse Cats Theater.
Yes.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
My God, I didn't know it was
Open
American.
Open your fucking eyes, dude. Everything, every movie you've ever seen has been made by a bunch of cats in a trench coat.
I really thought just Ratatouille was the rat movie.
That's just
that
the,
was it. That was the tip of the fucking iceberg, wasn't it?
Yeah. Julia, please continue.
I mean, I've lost the thread. Now I'm just thinking about the Cats Rats theater.
Cats Rats and Stats. That's what we need.
That's all we need here.
Stat block.
The Warhorse stat block is not cat-like enough.
Mm. Yeah. Is it the agility that's tripping them up? Is it the dexterity? Is that what they said?
They added some more dex from 12 to 16, and they did a pounce instead of a trample, but it sounds like they want more.
Is it like a nerfing quality that we're looking for here? Are we trying to like make it so that there are like some downsides to this overpowered creature?
What are the what's the challenge rating of a warhorse?
Glad you asked.
Stat block.
I
think this might need to be our first question that we bring up across sessions, because I do want Justice Axford and Murphy to weigh in on this.
Yeah, they would. This is good for. We'll kick this over to a short rest at some point.
Mm-hmm. Actually, okay,
for sure. So the Warhorse, it is a challenge rating of 1/2.
Okay,
its armor class is 11, has 19 hit points, a speed of 60 feet, 18 strength, 12 dex, 13 con, 2 intelligence, 12 wisdom, 7 charisma.
Great.
I would suggest, just to start things off,
yeah,
maybe vulnerable to water.
If an enemy even pretends to spray at the warhorse cat with a little spray bottle, it freaks out.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Or it like arches its back and you fall off.
It has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Like that, yeah.
Or cool. What if they get easily distracted. My cats always get easily distracted by birds, by literally anything that makes a noise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do...
If you minor illusion a laser point, you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Someone makes a bird noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This feels good. A lot of like wisdom saves you have to do.
A warhorse's passive perception is 11. Does it feel like a cat would have higher passive perception?
Because
they're kind of jumpy. They feel like cat notices
they are.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like... A cat knows where you are.
That's right. At all times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's one. I know this about cats.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Correct.
And another thing this horse has is a hoof attack. It's a melee weapon attack, +6 to hit, 5-foot reach, and it's 2d6 +4 bludgeoning damage.
Well, that's got to be piercing or slashing.
Yeah, it's got to change to claws. Am I right? And the reach should actually probably be a little further because a cat can, I feel
cats are liquid.
Yeah. Cats don't have a real shape.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing. Cats hate a closed door. If there's any door in the vicinity that's closed, that cat immediately goes to that door.
Cats more or less operate under vampire rules, right?
Yes.
They need to be, well, it's the opposite of vampire rules.
Oh,
they need to not be invited in in order to want to go.
You close the door and they're like, okay, but I know you said no, but I'm coming in.
But what about just me?
What about just letting me in?
Now I'm just picturing like a 6-foot tall cat like trying to swipe its paw under the edge of the door.
Just doing the little kneading on the door where they're just trying to... your door just has scrapes through it.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's a lot of ways where like, yeah, cat mount is better, but then a lot of ways where it's worse.
I feel like harder to control, too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't make a cat do anything.
Yeah, because there are plenty of... I was just looking up what the challenge rating on some big cats in D&D are.
Yeah.
It looks like lion and tiger is both challenge rating 1.
Okay.
And panther is 1/4. So there's not... I couldn't find a 1/2 challenge rating cat. But I think if you go with like a lion or tiger and then give it these like complications to balance it out.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that.
One more complication. I feel like this is going to be way too complicated for you to ever play with, because I do think that you're going to need to feed the cat every morning. And if the cat doesn't eat all of its food, it's not going to be able to perform all its abilities.
Yeah.
If it leaves like a little bit and like nudges the bowl around all day, then I don't think that it's going to be able to like perform to the fullest extent.
Gets a constitution debuff.
Yeah.
You have to roll to see if your cat is still interested in the food you've been feeding them for the past 3 months.
Or you have to go into town and go to like the cat merchant.
You're like, you've been eating this for the past 3 months. Why aren't you interested in it now?
Like,
you
want to
try this one? No, you don't even like this one.
All right, so we're putting the quest for finding the lich's heart on hold, and we are going to be looking for some Friskies.
Yes.
We're going to be looking for a store that sells Friskies.
You like the tuna and shrimp, but not the tuna and the green leaves. What's up with that? Which one do you want?
But it can't like the food too much, or else it'll eat it too fast and then throw up.
Yes.
And oh, hairballs are definitely a thing. You're gonna need to have a hairball table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's like a wild magic table.
Yes.
Hairballs.
Different size hairballs that do different things.
Your cat's still trying to hork that up.
So I think this is good. We've helped. We've helped a lot.
Definitely.
I'm sure, Murph and Emily. There's some glaring thing that we've missed.
I'm sure
because there's only one cat person.
But I think
here.
We've got this. We've got the ball rolling here for sure.
We started the conversation, mm-hmm. which is all that we needed to do.
Mm. Yes.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
So Court Crit is back in session.
That was a great recess.
That was beautiful, yeah.
Gracias.
Another great sunset.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the sun is now rising on a new day in
That's
court.
True. We all slept on the bench.
We did, as we always do. Nicholas B. writes, "May it please the court and my favorite bailiff." Thanks, guys. Wow. "In my absence of a session, my DM has given my character, Aster, a crown of duck summoning." Sorry to stay on the bird topic. "Aster, a crown of duck summoning as a punishment. He has stated that it is fused to my body.
Oh.
Therefore, I am unable to remove it. It isn't much of a problem. My party and I have actually tried to utilize it, in fact. The only grievance I have is that my DM won't let us use the ducks in a party move we call Duck Death Cannon. In combat, we pass a duck around between us to build up momentum before we have our Goliath Barbarian yeet it at an enemy's head." Yeet it is to throw something violently.
Mm-hmm.
"We know it would be considered an improvised weapon and that the duck would definitely die, but the image of a kobold's head exploding in a cloud of feathers is quite funny to us. My DM says it's too ridiculous and too much work. I argue that if he doesn't want to put in the work, he shouldn't have given me the crown.
Yeah.
Thoughts? If I must be punished, I request to die in a poof of duck feathers.
I put my phone on airplane mode, but somehow Murph is calling. He's bypassed airplane mode and is calling. He wants to chime in on this. Yeah.
I have a feeling who's going to rule for.
All right. So let's recap. It's it's a crown.
Yes.
That is a punishment. It's fused to the player's head.
While he wasn't there, he returned from a session he missed with this crown.
Yeah.
Fused to his character's head.
It's kind of like going to sleep and like getting your face covered in Sharpie, except lot more permanent.
Yeah, this is like an infernal punishment. This is like what you get for making pacts with demons and whatnot.
I love the idea that throwing a duck at an enemy is too ridiculous, but a crown that is fused to your head that summons ducks is not.
That's the DM's not playing by their own rules right here, I don't think.
Yes.
The thing that tripped me up was like the part where they were trying to build momentum on the duck.
That one, it seems like they don't need to do that.
Yeah, you could just have the Goliath throw the duck.
Yes. The Goliath throwing the duck as hard as they can is like, that's where the momentum is coming from. You didn't pass around the duck and it didn't turn into like a fucking vortex.
Yeah, you're not using the orbit of the moon to like build the velocity of the duck.
I mean, if, you know, mechanically, if you want to say every player spends their turn taking the help action instead of doing something. Power up the duck.
They should be calling it Chuck a Duck, right? Like,
That's honestly the source of the punishment will come from that, I think. Yeah.
You guys failed to come up with the name Chuck a Duck. And
it's right there.
Duck Death Cannon, it's not even alliterative. I don't, it's not a cannon. He's throwing it.
He's going to go Mighty Duck Huck.
Mighty Duck Huck. Mm-hmm. There it is. Yeah. These are all better.
Yeah.
These are all better.
Julia, as the resident queen of salt, what are your thoughts?
This move, punishing your player for not being there or while they're not there, feels like something you do when you're just really irritated by something that's going on. And then, because I've tried to punish players for things by just like giving them something really annoying to interact with, and then they turn it around and do something ridiculous with it, which always makes me laugh, honestly, because like it's that moment where I'm like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Like, I was just really salty for a moment.
It's a collaborative game. That's
right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like really impressed with what they did. And then, you know, if the team's having fun, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know,
hell yeah.
It is. It's especially weird to be like, you have a crown that summons ducks. Like, okay, I'll throw one.
It is not ridiculous. It is a serious crown of ducks.
It's on your head.
Show up and sit there, and you can't do anything with them.
You cannot eat them. They are not a source of food. You cannot throw them.
DM just quacks for 5 minutes. Now let me narrate the scene.
You have angered the flock. You think they will work for you? No, nay, you have angered the duck lord.
They're taking a peck attack at you.
You must respect the duck. You did not respect the duck enough.
This mallard has malice.
See, I think that there's like even a way to do this where like if the player did need to be punished for something, like if they stole a golden egg from some sort of duck god and like they have a duck crown fused to their head now, maybe it is the sort of thing where like they can try and do like an animal handling check to like persuade one of the ducks to fight for them. But otherwise, they are just going to get the shit pecked out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's like ways around this, but I do agree that like if you give them a duck crown, they're going to use the ducks.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to assume that they're going to use anything that you give them. And you have to assume, basically, you have to hope for the best and prepare for the worst, which is just, you hope that they accept that this is a punishment, I guess. Also, like, accept that they're probably going to do something stupid.
This is Kwakov's gun.
Yes. Correct.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you. Should we offer a punishment?
Yeah, and I think it sounds like we're punishing the DM.
Unfortunately, yes. Like, it seems like they tried something interesting, but they went a little too hard. They went a little too hard in the other direction here. What are we thinking?
They just have to have a real duck at the table.
I like that. They have to adopt a duck.
They have to adopt a duck.
And not steal one from a fucking pond.
No.
You have to, like, rescue a duck.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, go pick one up.
And it's you must like respect that. It.
You have to respect the
and
duck.
And you can't raise this duck from a gosling. You can't. You have to get like a full grown duckling. You're right. Gosling is a goose.
That'd be
a
goose.
You should get a gosling too.
If you think you're getting a duck and you end up with a goose, oh boy, that's way bigger.
Ryan Gosling have to get a gosling.
I like this. Maybe gosling's who's giving you the duck.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's fun.
Get a duck from Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Raise it as your own.
Absolutely love that. This is another positive one. I love it, gang. Because like you're gonna raise this duck and you're gonna learn that, like, you know what? They're a little trouble, But yeah. They come up with some really fun ideas.
I write down the sentences these days. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote sentence, get a duck.
Feels, from Gosling.
That feels, that. Oh yeah, from Ryan Gosling.
I think also if your players see the duck at the table, it's going to make it more real. They're not going to want to throw mm-hmm. the ducks as much. They're going to want to work with them.
That's actually an added benefit. This mm-hmm. will put a stop to the mighty duck huck. Because you're not going to look at a duck in the eyes and then narrate how your Goliath chucks one at a kobold.
Mm-hmm. I saw a person on the streets of LA park their car and get out of the car, and they were holding a duck under their hand. So I think that this has already happened.
Yeah.
I think that the duck punishment has precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And like, it looked like they were pretty far along in their treatment because like they were getting along super well with this duck. Yeah. This duck was very calm, very placid duck.
That was clearly another DM that had done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love to cite precedent. And I'm glad we're citing precedent in this story.
Absolutely.
I could love a duck.
I was worried that we wouldn't.
So ordered. Our next case is from Gene C. May it please the beautiful justices and the lowly but charming bailiff. Thanks, I guess. My party recently had a quite violent PvP. My player was brought to zero by a player character who then killed my adoptive snake godson. This was done to try to get some powerful relics that I was carrying. The player who instigated it says that it was a natural progression after some evil choices by his character, but the rest of the party feel like the character went a bit power hungry by murdering their fellow player characters very quickly. However, he had been becoming more evil, which we did notice but let slide. So he feels that this was telegraphed and we could have just given him the artifacts or shared them between us to get power. They belonged to the aforementioned snake godson. This character has now become an NPC and the player has rejoined the party with a new character, but I'm having a difficult time playing in a friendly manner with this new character as I personally am kind of mad at the player himself. Are my feelings on this valid? I miss my snake son. Yeah, and that's it.
This is a tough one.
I love the animal theme of all of these questions.
I think I zero in whenever there's an animal.
We got bird bard, duck throw, cat mount, and now snake son.
Duck son, snake son.
Yes.
The thing about this one is that like you hear snake familiar. Okay, you're nodding your head. You like it. You hear snake son, you're like, pretty much better, like that, like where this is headed. You're snake godson, and you're like, I will defend them with my life. This is a very special relationship that's not often explored.
Yeah, that's true. That means a snake trusted you enough to make their offspring your charge, basically.
Exactly.
And that's kind of nice.
We don't know all of the details here. Like, is this person fully in charge of the snake? Like, has this snake's parents died?
I don't need to know everything. I feel like anytime you do PV, like player versus player, and someone dies, that feels insane to me. Does that happen a lot? I think playing for a podcast sometimes like colors my worldview.
Really?
Like, does this happen at a normal table?
Have y'all experienced this?
I have not. Mm-hmm. No. Usually the people I'm playing with, we're all trying to sort of match each other's energy and like be on the same team. And if we're doing like characters, like if the party's going evil, we're all going evil.
I always play with cuties. I feel like I'm always playing with like cuties and sweeties that like are all of the same mind, like you said.
We just want to play pretend with our friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you killed my fucking godson.
It feels it feels very like playing pretend in elementary school, where like betrayal is like the coolest thing you can think of. And
I guess here's my question, and like maybe this was mentioned in the I was gonna say the article. It's not an article.
Articles when they're introduced to the court.
That's true. Yeah. Read it back. Was this person working in conjunction with the DM? Like, was the DM aware that this was going to happen, that this turn was coming? Because I feel like...
Yeah, it does not appear so. But there is a postscript that mentions the DM has assured me there will be no more PvP when I said it made me uncomfortable after this event.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, yeah.
So that's, you definitely did the right thing by telling the DM that you were low-key not cool with what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I can see, like, as a DM, like, that's a fun idea, like, having one character, like, turn and kind of, like, be, you know, working to help you carry out your like, evil character's demands and wishes.
If you're going to do that, if you're the character doing that, you have to think about the repercussions. Like, you can't just come back to the table and be like, all right, my new character's name is Charlie. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, I swear.
You can trust him. Yeah, he loves
snakes.
Uh-oh, Charlie's going down a darker path.
This is my new character, Charlie, and he has two snake sons. And he loves them. They're twins.
It's happening again. Charlie's mad at you.
Yeah, it's rough. It's hard. Like,
it feels like the sort of thing you should probably check with the players beforehand as the DM. Just be like, hey, do you guys want there to be PvP stuff that happens or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would fucking not like that at all. If somebody, if I was playing, like, all right, how do we get into this tower? Uh-oh, you're hitting me.
What?
What happened?
This happened when Amir guested on the podcast.
It's true, it felt bad.
Yeah, it was fucking weird. We're all playing together, and then all of a sudden Amir's just like, I'm going to hit Jake. Like, what are you doing, man? What the fuck?
I think, I think if this was like orchestrated by the DM, or if they were in on it together, I could maybe forgive it. But if this player's like fully acting on their own and then like goes out of their way to kill your snake godson, that feels like a bridge too far. But again, I don't know. I don't want to give a harsh punishment here because it does seem like they're working on this. Like, it feels like they're already rehabilitating a little bit.
The player that killed
the
snake.
Well, the table, it seems like. You know, they discussed that, like, maybe this was, like, a step too far. We're going to, like, work on this.
But this still needs to be made right in my eyes.
Okay,
I think the snake should come back as a ghost. I think the snake shouldn't be lost forever.
Yeah, there's got to be a quest to resurrect this snake godson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like, when you have a godchild, you're fucking, it's your purpose is to protect it.
Yeah.
It's crazy to take.
Because when you have a child, like, you
it's
have
not as important
it.
As a godson.
No, you know? it's not, and I'll tell you why.
Because the kid has godparents. They got the second set.
Yeah, well, with godparent, like, somebody came up to you and said, like, hey, if I die, you have to take care of this kid. I have that in legal writing that you have to do this.
Really? With Sid's godparents?
She doesn't have any godparents because we're not committing to that shit. I'm not putting that burden on someone.
I'll do it.
You'll do it? Here live on the podcast?
I have, I don't know why I was doing this, but for a long time on Me and Amir's podcast, I was saying I wasn't a godchild, a godfather.
Right.
So I was asking for godchildren. And a lot of people made me a godfather.
Wow.
So this is just one more for
I have about 14 godchildren. And none of them are snakes.
My collection of godchildren. Here, okay, alternatively.
Uh-huh.
Going with the theme, get a real snake.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think that the person that killed the player that killed the other player's snake has to buy them a snake?
Just that person has to. The person who killed the snake has to get a real snake and take care of that.
Live
snake
by the
for
snake,
a while.
Die by the snake.
They gotta learn. They gotta learn. They gotta learn to love that snake and go, dang, I was wrong. I do love this snake.
And then that snake is going to be taken away from you.
And then when they love it the most, the DM has the right to come in and kill that snake.
Yeah, they have to watch that real snake get murdered in front. Well, first the DM has to beat them up so they can't protect the snake.
Right.
They fight. Okay. They fight.
You're PvP, IRL.
You get beat up in real life, and while you're hunched over on the ground, you watch the snake that you've taken care of. Yeah.
And I do think that the person should say it had to be this way.
So if you could get us your DM's address so that we can send them a golden broad axe that they can use to kill your snake.
We should also send
or you
a
can
snake.
Kill the snake if you,
you can
want
kill the
to.
Snake if you want. Yeah.
Let me see if I can buy a snake online.
You can definitely buy
you
a snake.
You can
online.
Absolutely.
Okay.
One of my friends is a snake breeder.
What?
Yeah.
How many they got?
She has a room full of snakes.
How many snakes is in a room full of snakes?
I think she has like 20.
Is that all right? So if you've got 20 snakes in your room, is that like too many snakes or is like, are there room for more snakes in there?
Well, because then she,
is that
you know,
at
sells
capacity
them.
Or?
Yeah, break it down for me like Animal Crossing style. Like how many squares are left?
Okay, so you know when you go fishing and then outside of your house, you just start putting the fish there because you don't got room in your house for all those fish.
Yeah, you just like have, like, you basically have like an aquarium eventually.
Correct. Yes. She has that. Just picture that, but inside. And with a lot of heating lamps.
So she's just got a reptile room.
Yeah, she has a reptile room.
Okay, I thought you could buy a snake online on eBay, but it looks like this person is just selling the skin that the snake shed, which I think is an equally good punishment. You have to buy this snake skin for $49.99 on eBay. It also is, it looks like $9. Oh, $8.40 with shipping.
I mean, that is a deal. That is a deal and a steal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that looks like, I'm seeing the picture. That's a big snake, so that's a lot of skin.
That's a lot of skin.
There's a lot of asterisks here that says this auction is not for a live snake. It's just a, it's just a skin that it shed.
Why is everyone so mad at me?
It's not a real snake, guys.
I'm not refunding anyone else, okay?
For the last time.
It's just the skin. So you could build a weird sock. I don't know.
I do feel like I need to say, in the spirit of being court, I do not condone killing your friend's snake.
Yeah, no,
please do not go kill your friend's snake.
You shouldn't actually harm an animal.
Do not harm an animal, please.
I think while we're saying it, you also probably shouldn't get a duck with Ryan Gosling. I feel like that's too much.
I feel like if Ryan Gosling
Ryan Gosling's into it, I think I feel like he'd be good with the duck.
Then maybe just the addendum is to like don't harass him about
I want to get the court's temperature on this. If Ryan Gosling comes up to you and he's just like, "Hey, I'm in way over my head with this duck."
Does it come with like continued acquaintance and friendship with Ryan Gosling? Cuz like I'm not going to just help him unload a responsibility and then he fucking goes off and like cavorts with
I get
Rosario
one line,
Dawson or whatever.
I get like, one line in his next movie.
You're definitely like getting Gosling's phone number for this exchange, right?
Yeah. He's like, "Hey, and like send me photos of like what you do with the duck."
Yeah.
And I'll be like, "Oh, tight." And and then if he starts like being slow to respond and he just starts liking a photo and not being like,
"Oh, he's giving you
hey,
thumbs
awesome,
up.
You guys went to the beach." But like if he starts giving me thumbs up, I'm finding him and being like, "Yo, you're taking this back," you know?
Like, well, then the move that you can do is that you like, "Hey, this duck has a problem. You got more duck experience than me. I have a question about the duck." And then you start using that. And then you're like, "By the way, I saw your movie, whatever it is at the time." And then you're like, "Good job." And that's how you get in, is like a slow conversation.
That's
builder,
cool.
You know?
What were you feeding the duck? And what was your workout in Place Beyond the Pines?
Yeah.
What were you eating then, man?
Tell me everything.
I really like that you delivered this line. It was great. Anyway, this duck is really sick.
Yeah. Sorry. Your duck died 6 months ago. I took all these photos in one wild weekend with the duck.
Hey, Ryan, do you replace ducks? What's your guarantee on that?
I just feel like Horace would want me to be in Blade Runner 2. Or Blade Runner 3,
I get a +6 for the premiere? The duck has friends.
I can do a cool robot voice. Have me in Blade Runner.
That's what the replicants
do,
voice right?
Yeah, they speak like robots, right? I am a replicant. See, it's good.
Deckard, no, do not delete me. Right? I've read the book.
Yeah.
Add Anna de Armas to this thread, please.
It is like tears in the rain. See, I can do it. Ryan, please. Also, please replace this duck. He's so sick.
You gotta give me a new duck, Ryan. I'm doing you a favor, buddy.
Jesus.
So how much snake skin are we giving this player?
Snakes and we started talking about ducks.
I think bring it back around.
Bring it back, yeah.
We want to be safe. We don't want any animal cruelty.
Mm-hmm. So purchase the snake skin on eBay.
Yeah, purchase the snake skin on eBay.
They have to wear the snake skin when they play this new
punishment
character, as a reminder. Mm-hmm. Also, whatever quest they're doing has to go on hold until they kill this NPC and resurrect the snake godson.
Yeah. I want to be in touch with your DM and be like, "You should have the snake back."
Wait, it's way too late to ask this question, but is it snake god's son or snake godson?
Godson. Godson.
Okay. Cool. Just
not god's son.
Just clarifying. It could be both, I guess.
Right.
It could
be a snake god that died and it's a snake god's son who's also my godson.
Yeah. It was an adoptive snake god's son.
Okay, great. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
It is from a god. Yeah. All right, cool.
Wow. We praise transparency in this court.
Very good.
All right, so ordered, I guess. And that is...
all the cases we have?
Yeah, that's it. So that brings this... courtroom is adjourned, I guess. We'd love you guys to plug anything you have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, catch Nathan and I on Drawfee Show on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you're into mysteries, role-playing mysteries, watch Drawtectives. Season 2 is out now. You don't need to watch season 1 to get what's going on in season 2.
But you should because it's really good.
Yeah.
But you should because it's a wild time.
Y'all got a Patreon for that?
We got
that
Patreon.
Bad boy?
We got
say
Patreon.
The URL. Say it nice and slow for everybody.
Patreon.com. Ooh. / Druffy.
Forward slash?
Forward slash? Backslash? Forward slash?
It's a slash.
It's got to be a back.
It's got to be backslash. Try the forward slash. The slash. That
it might work.
Do a backslash. So,
you know what? Just treat yourself. Use a forward slash every once in a while. It's kind of fun.
I tripped myself up because I started doing a voice. Yeah. And I was like, this is nothing.
It's true. Backslash would not sound as good in that voice. Forward slash.
Forward slash. I even tripped over it.
Forward slash, when you say like that, does sound like a ski move or something that you do on the slopes.
Yeah. You gotta do the pizza.
Pizza to forward slash.
You gotta do the pizza and then the forward slash.
This is the only way.
The forward slash is Ak-Ak's favorite attack.
Oh my god.
Great. Well, let's kill Ak-Ak one more time. Mm-hmm. And we can close out the session.
All right. Well, thanks again to Julia and Nathan. We'll have some bonus cases with Julia and Nathan if you guys want some more over at patreon.com/nadpod. Don't sing Caldwell. Don't do it. You can follow everybody on social media. Caldwell is at Caldy. I'm at Jake Hurwitz.
I'm at Nathan Yaffe.
And I'm at Julia LePetite.
Thanks. You can also follow at Droffy Show as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are.
The youth of the nation.
We are.
Youth of a nation.
I realized we forgot to tell Julie about this. I'm very sorry.
I was having a happy listen.
Yeah. I'm glad it was a
and
surprise.
That's enough.
Thanks.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Oh, benevolent, you really are. Starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., Soapsmiths of the Underdark. These squeaky clean sages can create a bar of soap that's malleable enough to copy a key, yet strong enough to mold it into metal. Just don't try bathing with it, you will die. Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jive G, Dylan B, and Dungeon Mama. Pickpockets who attach bars of soap to their feet to help them make clean getaways. This maneuver doesn't actually work, but while the guards are laughing at how dumb it looks, they throw a smoke bomb and escape for real. Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M, Beard Man Dan, Scott D, and Danny P. The Rerollers, an elite squad of DMs who intimidate problem players into changing their class or character to better fit the party composition. They are currently tracking Ak-Ak's location and preparing their next move. Mixologist Michael McD, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, and Andrew Burr. The Critter Court, a group of animal lovers who make sure all the Supreme Crit's judgments involving animals are fair and equitable. Even they said it was fine to kill Ak-Ak. Justin I, Ragnar Thirdwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M, and Trele the Crayfay. Members of Nicholas B's party who have started to take advantage of the Duck Crown. Each of them wears a cape of feathers and wields a blade made of duck beaks. They even referred to D&D as Ducks and Dragons. Sorry, gang, but we're rolling with the DM on this one. Jared E., Austin Bonesaw MR, Daniel R., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Gage M., Ryan Gosling's personal duck breeders. Turns out the reason he gave away his pet duck is because he already had a flock. Despite his name, the man loves ducklings. Filbert the Fabulous, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Trust the Traveler, and Sir Carl, Ryan Gosling's personal geese eaters. If a goose gets within 10 yards of him, these trained hunters capture it, drive it 50 miles away, then toss it out of the truck. Again, despite his name, Ryan loves ducklings and absolutely despises geese. Weird, but true. Jory S., Callum L., Jack L., Flawless Whale, and Sam L., Ryan Gosling's personal swan bee goners. To Ryan, swans are basically geese and, as such, can't stand them. To that end, he's hired a squad to make sure any swan never enters near his vision. I know it's weird, but I swear I'm not making any of this up. Nicholas C., Mike H., Udish Milik, the baby Bronze Dragon, Matthew E., and Colton B. These folks run the coffee trucks outside the Supreme Crit and are ultimately the ones responsible when the judges get too hopped up on caffeine and sentence people to death. Megan S., Nabadger, Panama James, Cummins the Bard, and Captain Sigil. Justices from the lower crit, waiting in the wings for a Supreme Crit Justice to abstain again so they can take the bench. Nathan C., Grace G., Diana, CC Lulu, and Barnesonator. Bailiff Jake's gym buddies who motivate him by telling him he's lowly every time he sits down at the bench to bench press. Bring it on, haters! Michelle O., Alex W., Timmy R., Jonathan W., the croc-wearing warrior, Lucas B., and Aaron S. Ryan Gosling's Goslings. These goslings are fed exactly what Gosling eats. 9 protein shakes a day. They're jacked geese. It's Kevin, Bionic Pookie, New York, KDW, Cass, and Steven C. People who bought what they thought was a live snake on eBay only to find out it was actually only snake skin. And when they went to return it, the skin turned into dust in their hands. Not cool! Michael M., Mike K., Joy T., Nick W., Taylor A., and Esme M., prisoners of the drow who actually have a ton of copies of the keys, but they're just kind of into how cool and dank it is down here. Kelsey C., Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., and Giant Monsters on the Horizon. Locksmiths who exclusively use soap to make new keys. It's time-consuming, expensive, and their keys often break, but at least it's a lot of effort. Ghoulia Julia, Thrath, Burly T, J Dragonborn, Joro the Unapropro, and Cody B. Rogues who have never in their life paid for a bar of soap. They will just take a melty, half-used bar out of the bathroom before you even notice. That's how good rogues are at stealing soap. Liam D., The Sandrian, Ben A., Dave H., and Koala Bear, celestial snake angels who have adopted John C.'s dead snake godson. Whenever you see a shooting star, that's John C.'s slithering amongst the cosmos and eating rats the size of planets. Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Keith K., and Connor F., the owners of Paintball v. Paintball, a pocket dimension paintball course that players can use as an alternative to PvP. You can still kill each other in this pocket dimension, but be warned, the fine is steep. Kyle H., the Time Walker, Emilio D., Two Left Eyes, DPC is awesome, Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, and Pork Chop. A group of cowboys who ride giant cat mounts instead of horses. They also dress up as catboys in their spare time, which is personally enriching for them, but deeply confusing for the cows. Chanel M., Thomas B., Velaciraptor, Minette F., Pat L., and Achutha A., the Council of Nerf. These seasoned DMs are responsible for judging whether players' spells or items are OP. Their commitment is unwavering, their rulings ironclad, their gavels, however, squishy and made of foam. Lauren H., David M., Joshua D., Elias Hawthorne, Alex H., and the eldest Barry. A guild of locksmiths who have invented a key that can't be duplicated by soap mold. Turns out the trick was just to make the guards keep the keys in their pocket. Ingenious. Ryan S., The Bone Duster, Robert Crisp, Brentley C., and Micah B., former Olympic shot putters who wanted an extra challenge. Thus, the international phenomenon of duck hooking was born. Ploops, Carly Ann, Lori P., Seth AJ, Spam Gaming, the not-so-skilled gamer. Demonic birds who crafted the duck crown. They swore never to let it fall into the wrong hands, but then got distracted by a bunch of breadcrumbs and dropped it into a portal. Oops! Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, P., Leviathan, and BioQuirt 7, a band of bagpipers hired by the two crew to accompany every session. They play a solemn dirge every time someone rolls a nat 1. It lasts over 10 minutes and is almost impossible to edit out of every episode. Sorry, Murph, but it really sets the tone. Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Thrill of the Fright, Sullivan H., and Trub Hop Dropper. Some of Bailiff Hurwitz's many godchildren, due to a contractual loophole, he is legally obligated to pay for all their college tuition. How thoughtful. Sydney T., Matt Y., Alex C., Lindsay W., Champ Wild, and Valen, bagpipe teachers who are tasked with teaching Akak how to play the bagpipes. He has some raw ability, but he keeps trying to stab them, which isn't ideal. Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., Jake, Ceci A., and Matthew J., members of Heidi's table, who are all irate they have to listen to the bagpipes at the beginning and end of every session, except for Ceci, who's kind of into it. Tiara P., Noah, Estelle, Baron S., Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, Conflicted DM, and Justin L.B., French chefs who also use a crown of duck summoning to keep their restaurant chock full of their signature duck dish. The crown ultimately kills more ducks, but it is tastier. Dandy, Jennifer R., Clifton A., Richard G., M. Barber, and Marcus P., farmers who are all confused at Ryan Gosling's presence at the farmer's market, but they better get used to it. Gosling's is a thriving business and it's here to stay. Pup Kalish, Gabriel M., Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, and Pagos, self-proclaimed Fey Prince. Snakes at their family reunion who are all wondering where Jean C's snake godson is. Oh my god, have we got bad news for y'all. Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E., Scrumpy Bogpipe, Holly Hyena, and Anthony A. Players who monitor PvP battles at the table in case someone rolls lawyers and are eager to argue cases in front of the Supreme Crit, but unfortunately, we have a strict no rules lawyer rule. Abigail, Maybe, Egg Infinitum, Sloth King 777, Cal Can't Commit, and Commodore, Ryan Gosling's eggs. Ryan is eager to raise these young goslings and love them like his own children, but Ryan is also hungry for an omelet. Edison N., Russell H., Neos, Laura R., and Kira, Akak's Bard College professors. They would all be equally horrified to see him ignoring everything he learned at Bard School, especially Healing Word. Logan H., Sean G., Morgan M., Sticker, who I wonder if you are someone that I met at the live show last week, if so, hi, and Zachary A., a team of contractors currently building a pond at Ryan Gosling's house. He won't tell them what it's for, but we all know. And that's it. Thank you all. You are all so good to us, and we love you so much. So here's a little kiss. Mwah! Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum podcast.